We're thankful, Father, for this and other time to be able to understand more the language of the New Testament, keeping us sharper as we study thy word and as we continue our spiritual growth. We praise thee for this time together in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, does anyone have any questions, or did you have any problems with the... Actually, you had two assignments, one that we haven't graded yet from last week, and or the week before, and then last week's assignment. I don't remember how much of the second chapter I had you do. Did I have you do the whole thing? More or less? The whole thing? Okay. Anybody have any problems with it? Okay, go ahead.
First of all, Carl and I got a heated argument over whether the ending of the noun had to agree with the, not with the gender, right? It has to agree with the gender of the article, but not with the case.
No, it has to agree in number, gender, and case. The question is, does the noun and the article have to agree? Yes, they have to agree in number, gender, and case, but not necessarily declension.
Okay, then, for example, is
verse 10.
Of what?
Verse 10, First John 2.
2?
10.
Okay, 1 John 2:10. Yeah, okay. Okay, now... No. I see what your problem is. You have a definite article, right? In the nominative singular. And then you have what appears to be a what? Okay. Now the question is it? Is it? No, it's not accusative.
Well, it showed up on the chart that you gave us, and it was plural.
Exactly.
Now, maybe, what, agree on another declension?
No. No. Number one, this is not a noun. Okay? You didn't know that. But remember what I told you? If it doesn't agree, then it tells you something. It tells you that you're on the wrong ground. It's a participle.
Okay. I thought I was on
the wrong
chart. Well, normally you would have... If there was no article there, okay... then you would have suspected that that was what?
I'd have gone by it if there was no article.
Okay, you'd have gone by it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have said genitive plural, right?
Yeah.
Okay, in any one of the three.
Right.
Because they're all the same, are they not?
Right.
Okay. But in this case, this is a participle.
Okay.
And the article here really is simply identifying a person. And so it is the one loving his brother. Yes, those are participles. The one saying. And you see, the one is expressed by simply the article. So that would tell you can use the article... in the place of a person, and this is the case that you have there. The one saying that, and whatever he says.
In verse 13, next to the last line on the sheet, in the middle there, you have tone, apostrophe.
Now wait a minute. Yeah.
What's that op doing there?
That op, well, first of all, that's a preposition.
Well, I'm used to understand the article next to the noun.
I know it, but in this case you don't have the noun. You just simply have ton.
So that the noun following out, or the word following out, does not go with the ton?
Not necessarily. That is correct. Now, I'd have to go into the exegesis of that, and let me see.
I thought that the ending of RT is a
Now, there again, you have the tone there. All right, is the accusative of the one. There again, it's referring to a person. Now you're beginning to see something. What are you beginning to see? All right, and something else. In a sense, yes. Except when you're using a pronoun, it's obviously a pronoun. But you're seeing some style. And it's apparent that John does this a lot. No, the contracted forms are fine. The op is simply a contracted form of apo. And the reason why it's contracted is because the next word begins with a what? With a vowel with a smooth breathing. And so that would indicate, see, if it wasn't there, okay, it would be op archis. Because remember, there was no spaces originally. So what they did is they simply put the accent there, indicating that there is a space there, and in fact, it's a contracted form. So what you have there, does everybody understand the question in verse 13 of chapter 2? Leo, do you have this stuff in front of you?
No, sir, I don't have a copy of that.
You don't have a copy of that?
No.
Well, let me get you one so you'll see what we're doing here. You got to have it. That's chapter 1. We don't want chapter 1. We want chapter 2. There we go. I should. If I don't, there's... I had 10 run off. All right. Well, do you have this one?
Mm-hmm.
You do. Well, we're on... Actually, there's only three verses missing that we're covering down in here. I don't know why I don't have any more of those others, though. Somebody didn't... Yeah, whenever you see those irregularities like that, in other words, if the passage indicates that there is a definite article, and the definite article seems to stand out by itself, and it doesn't agree with anything before it or after it, then leave it by itself, and you would simply translate it the one. Okay? Generally, it'll precede a noun, but let me put it this way. If there's another word between it, disregard the other word. Unless it's an adjective, and if it's an adjective, then they'll all agree in number, gender, and case. Because you're going to see that the articles, okay, must agree in number, gender, and case with the nouns and the adjectives. Now, conceivably, you could have an adjective and a noun rhyming. Are you still with me? Whereas the article might not rhyme, but it'll still be the same in number, gender, and case. Why? Because the noun happens to be in another declension, and the adjective is going to be in that same declension.
That's
all. That's it. They agree. They don't have to agree in declension. Okay, and by that I simply mean articles you see are not in a particular declension, but normally you would see it the nominative masculine form, okay, would be o, like so. And then the nominative masculine form in the second declension would be os. So you would expect that this would go with that. All right? But if it's a first declension noun, but it's masculine, it might be is, because that's the first declension masculine endings of the, rather the masculine endings in the nominative first declension. This is why I gave you the second declension first, because everything follows, you know, much nicer and prettier, especially with the rhyming part like tu lohu, okay? But the two here, and if you got first declension or worse than that, third declension, you might have a completely different ending here. But it'd be genitive. It'd agree in number, gender, and case of the article. It just wouldn't agree of what we consider the declension. That is, it wouldn't follow the os endings. So you wouldn't go along saying it's a first declension masculine east, but then from there on it goes back to the second declension. That'd be incorrect. In other words, whatever it started with in its declension, it must follow that order of number, gender, and case with the article. And I think what I'll do for you next week, it'd make it a lot easier for you, I'll give you an examples of second declension nouns. Well, we've already done that, but we're almost ready for the first declension. That's the idea. And once you see, you don't have them in front of you yet. I haven't given them to you. But once you see the first declension orders, then you'll see how they would fit together. And if they're first declension feminine, which the first declension is normally feminine, then it would have in front of, instead of the O, it would have E, okay, and then the particular ending. But what you wouldn't have, yeah, you could. Forget that. Okay? It's just that it must agree in number, gender, and case. That's the important thing. Number, gender, and case. And whatever the nominative form is, that's its dictionary form, that'll tell you what declension it's in. Whether it be first, second, or third declension, and then it would decline according to its paradigm within that declension. Like if you saw a word and you went back to its dictionary form and you found it was an os ending, you'd know then that it was second declension and that it would simply follow that order. Provided, of course, it's a noun, that it's masculine. Suppose you have this and you have an os ending. That's telling you what? That it's second declension, but it's feminine. So this would decline as the articles of the feminine form, and this would decline the same as it would of the second declension. In other words, here's the whole point of the second declension. Any declension, it does not specify gender. It doesn't say to you it's masculine, feminine, or neuter. It isn't until the article appears that tells you whether or not it is masculine or feminine.
Well, in this case, there are different declensions, but the E is the feminine in this declension, and the O is the feminine in this declension?
In the second declension, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly, now you got it. So you would decline this the same way you would have the second declension masculine nouns. But this determines that it is in fact a feminine noun of the second declension. Remember I said that most second declension nouns are what? Masculine. Most first declension nouns are feminine. However, there are first declension masculine nouns as there is second declension feminine nouns. That's exactly right.
It's not a. Saying that the gender is specified by the word.
By the article. By the article. Here. Let me show you that. All right, here's O. I have to make it small. Logos. Okay? All right, what would be the genitive form of this? This is the nominative form. Genitive form?
To.
And here you'd have?
Logu.
Then, go down to the accusative.
Ton.
Logon, right? All right, now, let me show you a second declension feminine noun. E. Odos. Okay? Next. Tis. Odu. Why? Because it's following its declension. It must follow its declension. Next. Teen. Odon. See what's happened? This is the masculine. This is the feminine. These are both second declensions. They always, in the second declension, they always decline the same, regardless whether they're masculine or feminine. It's the article that determines whether or not they are masculine or feminine. Now, if you solve this by itself, you know it's second declension. But what don't you know? The gender. You don't know whether it's masculine or feminine. So they must agree in, I keep saying number, gender, and case. All right? Let's just say for now, they must, that's true, but they must agree in number and case. The gender would be determined by the article. Okay. So they would agree in number, gender, and case. The problem is, if you would assume that this is masculine and you were told to put an article in front of it, this is what you would do, right? And that'd be incorrect. Because it happens to be a feminine. Well, let's get the accents in here so that we get those right. Okay? So this follows this, this follows that. Now, on the other hand, going to the first declension, all right? In the first declension, you have all, and you have east ending. So what would you do with it? What would be the genitive here? Two. As it would be before, and whatever the genitive of the first declension of that particular paradigm. And there are four in the first declension. There are es endings, os endings, e endings, and then I think it's I, iota alpha sigma, or iota epsilon sigma, I can't remember. Or iota epsilon alpha. But those are your endings. And you'd follow, and you see, when you get to the first declension, you're gonna end up with six times four or five, so you'll have 30 different paradigms to follow. That's why I picked the second declension first, because it doesn't have any others in it. The endings of the first declension, second declension rather, are os, u, on, and etc. Okay? All right. Does that answer that part of your question?
Yeah,
it'll sink. That's, like I said, that is a problem that a lot of people have. They lock in, they try to lock in and force the declension into the gender, which would be correct, but then they opt for, since it's os, it has to be masculine and not so. It would have been lovely if Alexander would have simply left all the osses masculine, and my name would have been Ioannos instead of Ioannis. But I'm first declension masculine noun. So my name has to obviously decline within the first declension is endings. But the article would decline as per the masculine. Remember, articles are not in declensions. Articles are simply in number, gender, and case. It's the nouns that fall into the declensions. Now, having said that, let me just anticipate what's coming up. And this is why I wanted you to memorize these. If this is true, and it is, then if you're going to have an adjective stuck in here, the good word, okay, all, and it's from kalos, logos. See, there it is. Now, E, now what do you do? Kaliodos. Correct? Or kalos odos. E, kalos odos. I don't want to confuse you. I'm not sure myself. Let's just wait on that one. Because the adjective will agree as well in number, gender, and case. And we'll see that as we go along. When I see, what I'm going to do is look up a bunch and see if I can find a bunch of adjectives in a particular passage with articles in there. It'd be nice if you had that. All right, now let's go to the grading. What was it that we did not do? We began it, I think, last week. What was your assignment? Nancy, you said that we hadn't gone over what?
The previous.
Yeah, the previous. What was it we hadn't finished?
Just identifying the number of cases and then there was the article on the declension of the noun and then
ultimately
try and figure out
right.
Without a dictionary.
Yeah, I wanted you to do that. I'm glad the dictionaries didn't come until now, because I wanted you to do that, see if you could think back and go back. Even if you're wrong, I want you to try it. Nominative form, right. Right. Where did we...
Verse
8 of 1 John 1.
First John
1, 8. Okay. Oh, that's John. Leo, you don't have that one either, do you? Wait, I might not either. Yeah, I do. There you go. Okay, let's see if we can... All right, Nancy, tell me what you found. Where's the first one that you found? Okay, E, Aletheia. That's correct. From what? No, Ialithia. That's the nominative form. Gotcha. Okay. Okay, there's no more in that. Verse 9. Tas. Armatias. From? E. Armatia. Yeah. Now, there's one of them right there. You see that IA ending, the iota alpha ending? That's going to be one of the first declension paradigms. But the article mark will remain the same. It'll be the same as it is E, you know, if it's feminine. Okay. It's plural, yes. Yeah, you know that because tas is what? It's accusative plural, feminine accusative plural. So you'd identify this as feminine accusative plural from e armatia. Got it?
Whenever you go back, whenever you want to find a word that's from, you go all the way back to the singular form of the word?
Singular nominative, okay. Always. When you get your dictionaries on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever you're here and I have them, you can start looking these up and you'll see it. And then next week we'll be in great shape because I'm going to spend a lot of time in that dictionary and in the Greek text. I won't have to keep passing these out to you. I'll just simply say, turn to that passage. All right. Notice in verse 9 you have another one there, pistos. Okay. Now, look at this. That's the noun that it's from. Now, what did the Greeks do? They put a second declension ending on this. So it's referring to a person who happens to be a person of faith. And that would therefore tell us that this is probably an adjective and it would be translated faithful. A faithful, and in parentheses, one. What verse is that? Help me. Verse 9. Of... Oh, it's the first chapter. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. See? If we confess our sins, ian omologeomen, if we confess, okay, omen is the first person, first person plural, okay? Present active indicative. If we confess these sins of ours, watch, pistos isten, he is faithful. See? Pistos. He, the isten there is. That's the verb. He is. He, faithful, is the way you'd say it in Greek. He faithful is. Because pistos, what it did was it picked up this word from faith, all right, then put an os ending on it of the second declension, and then converted it into faithful. So it's referring to, and the he is understood by this. They assume that since it has that kind of an ending, it would refer to a male. So he is faithful. Faithful he. See what they did there? Okay. Just wanted to show you that. So you didn't think that was an unorthodox noun of the second declension. By the way, it's from e pistis. It's normally a feminine noun. But here they've converted it over and made it describing an individual. And by the way, what is that? Is it a noun or an adjective? Oh, really? It's an adjective. You're describing a person, place, or thing. And in this case, you're saying the person is faithful. Is faith, has faith, faithful. Okay. And then notice the archaeos. Yeah? He is faithful and he is just and or righteous. Ina afi imin tasar matias. There's another one again, same thing. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse from all adikias, unrighteousnesses, unfaithfulness. Okay. There's no more there except on the last line of verse 10. Correct? You do have a personal pronoun there. Verse 10. Yeah, Tasa Matias is the same as the one it was before. You have no more until the last line of verse 10. You do have a noun in there, by the way. Does everybody see it? Seftin. In verse 10. At least you can see the teen in there and you know something about it. Right? It's accusative and it's feminine. Right? No problem there. Okay. All right. No, it really isn't. But you do know what? It's accusative, and you do know that it is singular, and you do know that it's feminine. So you see, you've already got that part taken care of. Then what you have to do is identify. Afton. It's a personal pronoun. First word. But what do you know about it? It's accusative, it's masculine, and it's singular. From what? Yeah, from aftos. Y'all see that, Philip? You see it? First line, second line of verse 10. Yeah, that's accusative, singular, masculine. From aftos. It's a personal pronoun. I just thought I'd throw it in. But see, I hope you're starting to see that once you learn your articles and you learn the paradigms of the second declension, you're going to lock in a whole host of adjectives and a whole host of what? Of pronouns. That's why I wanted you to memorize these. Because if you don't, when we go into pronouns, when we go into adjectives, then you're just going to be all messed up. Because you're going to have to keep running back to your charts. And, you know, memorizing, what is it? How many are there in the second declension? Well, it's more than eight. Yeah, it's got to be more than ten. Yeah, you've got four minus the vocative. You got nominative, you got genitive, you got dative, and you have accusative. That's 4, 8, 12. 12 simple little three letter one syllable endings. Yeah, see, if you don't get that, when you get to the first declension, you're going to be swarmed. You're going to say, whoa! Now you got 12 times 5. Huh? That's 60 in my book. And for what it's worth, by the way, I don't know them all. You don't have to. Because there's so many clues in there, the minute you see it, say, oh, that has to be first declension. So? And if the article is there, you're in great shape, because the article won't change. It'll always be in the same, what? Number, gender, and case. So if you have some cuckoo ending, say, well, that's some declension I don't know, or it's a part of the first declension or the third declension that I don't know, but at least I know what that article is. The only problem is you don't always conveniently have the article sitting in front of it. Now the last line, ke o logos, okay, and the word from o logos. Okay, the verse 2. Technamu, that by the way is from ta, techna. Okay? That's the plural form of what? Children. My little children, my children. Tuta, these things are offered to you in order that you will not sin. And if we sin, okay, parakliton. There's a noun. What do you know about it? It's accusative, it's singular, it's masculine, or at least, it's what? It's accusative, it's singular, and you know that it is in what declension? The second declension. So it would be from parakletos. You're not sure of the article, right? Right? Because it's not there. But what would you opt for? Oh, you had a choice. We ran into trouble, I remember, last week with ton patera. Remember that? So let's just identify it. At least you know patera is what? You may not know its declension, but at least you know it's what? No? Well, go back to the article. You know that it's accusative, and you know that it's singular. Right? And you know it is, as Mark said, masculine. Why? Because that's the masculine, accusative, singular form. Hey, there's the article right in front of you. So that next word has to be, even though it's an alpha ending, it has to be what? Masculine, singular, accusative. Okay. No, why? Because it's not agreeing in number, exactly. See, keep that little rule in your mind. It has to agree in number, gender, case. And it always will. It must agree in number, gender, case. If it doesn't agree in number, it doesn't belong to it. Or, quite frankly, somebody misspelled it. And you're not going to find that in the word. That's interesting. Not one misspelt word, not one Greek structure that is incorrect. How ironic. And I don't care what book you read, and I don't care how many times it's proofread, you're still going to find error in it. There isn't a newspaper article that I can't read where I'll find either a word misspelt or something is wrong with the grammatical structure. There's no, as a matter of fact, they used to use the Bible to teach grammar when they had no textbooks. And further, apparently, because Eisenhower made this a fact, his dad only had an eighth grade education, but he could read from the Greek text. So they used to teach New Testament Greek up to the eighth grade. Amazing. Have we come a long way in our educational system? No. Matter of fact, for what it's worth, a college graduate today is equivalent to a high school graduate of 50 years ago. Okay? A high school graduate today is equivalent to an eighth grade education of 50 years ago. We haven't gone anywhere. I'm backwards educationally. Of course, people would argue that, but I have no problem with that because I've read some of these people. Both the 50-year-ago types and the ones today. You read a book that was written over 50 years ago, and the average reader, unless he has had a thorough understanding of high school English and hopefully now college English, he has difficulty reading it. Number one, the vocabulary is far beyond the vocabulary that we use today. You could converse with a person who had an eighth grade education, he wouldn't sound like the retards that we have who are high school graduates today bumping around, hitting each other like atoms going wild without a nucleus. There's something meaningful there, and I'm not sure what it is, but don't worry about it. Then you have a whole string of them there right after ton patera, right? On, you know that's all accusative, you know it's singular, and in this case it's masculine because it's referring to whom? Take this, say, take the next to the last word in verse 1 of 1 John 2. What is it? Christon. Okay? All right, Christon is obviously from Christos, right? And if you looked it up, you'll see O in front of it. It's the Christ. Now, if you notice, Yesun, that's third declension. That's one of those. See the funny ending? Okay, now move on to the next verse. Before we had tas armatias, now we have ton armation. Okay? We know one thing, if we've studied tas armatias, what do we know? Well, firstly, we have a problem, because we see this. Right? The article, which could be, goes all the way across. It could be masculine, it could be feminine, it could be neuter. But we've already studied it. And we know that it's tas armatias, and that was definitely feminine, so this is going to be feminine. In other words, they're not going to fool you along the way and switch. So going back to the, in other words, this would be ton armation from e armatia. Mark? Click? Okay. The only thing I'm trying to bring out there is the fact that you would have a problem with identifying that if you hadn't identified it before, knowing that in the genitive plural, ton goes all the way across on the chart, right? The feminine, the masculine, and the neuter are all the same. They're all T-O-N, ton. Taf, omega, ni, with a circumflex. Okay. Just thought I'd throw that one at you. And then we have the last word in line 2, or rather verse 2, ton imeteron. Okay? You know at least it's what? It's genitive plural, but you don't know, because you've never studied that before. You'd have to look up this word, imeter, and see imeter, and see what kind of an ending it has. If it had an os ending and it had an o in front of it in the dictionary, you'd know it's masculine. Okay. Monon ala, don't fall for that on ending on that one. Second verse. I'm on the second line of verse 2. First word is what? Imeteron, right? De monon ala ke peri olu. Now, from, oh, by the way, olu is from olos. Okay? That means all. Then tu kosmu. You don't have any problem with that, because now you have a rhymer there. You can jump right on that one. Tu is from o, kosmu is from kosmos. Next line, verse 3, beginning with ginoskomen, right? All the way across to tas en tolas, all right? Philip, identify tas for me. What is that? No. You didn't memorize them yet, did you? No. That should jump right out at you. Tas, feminine. Okay? You know why? Because if you memorize the masculines, then you know it's got to be one or the other. And if it doesn't follow your masculine form, there's only six. Memorize those, please. Not six, there's less. Yeah, six. Seven, eight. Right? On, then, coming down, I'm sorry. O, two, to, subscript, ton, right? E, not tis. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. It's that's why in New Test in Bible school Greek they say tois, because tis is omicron iota, right? Yeah. And then plural tous. For instance, if I said tous olus, all of them. See them. Third, it's plural accusative. Accusative plural. In this case, it's tas. All right, somebody else identify it. What? All right, it's accusative feminine plural, right? From what? E, N, to, li. Yeah. Or N, to, la. No, not us. I think it is from E and to Li. Yeah. The commandment. Verse 4. That's where you guys fell apart, right? You had the article, then you had next to it on, and you jumped on that as a plural. Didn't you? And you couldn't figure out why you had a singular article with a plural from logos. That's not from logos. Notice, by the way, it's leg. And it's leg on, and it's a participle. The one speaking from legi. He is speaking. From lego, I speak. This is from a verb, by the way. Okay? All right. You know what a participle does? Is it takes a verb and makes it a noun and almost makes a sentence out of it. Because here you have two little words here, right? O legon. The one who is speaking is how you translate it. You got two words. O legon. The one who is speaking that. Okay. Now you have in verse 4, tas and tolas again. We just had that. Next line. E alithia. Fourth word from the end on verse 4. Obviously it's from E alithia. Remember I told you, didn't I say something about putting it off to the side? Okay, did I translate that for you? The truth, yeah. I want you to make that a part of your vocab. Verse 5. Look at the first word. Os. Something immediately tells you that it can't be... Well, first of all, it can't be an article because there is no article, os. That would be a normal ending of the second declension, but then you see an accent there, and that tells you something altogether. That's the little clue right there. Look at the second word. It's probably from via, and they drop both vowels and put, it's a contracted form, because you have a negative there, on. Somewhere in here, there's going to be... That, by the way, on, let's just take that word up. That's the easiest one. You can't translate it. There's no translation in English for on. But when you see it in a sentence, when you see it with this especially, If you see E, which is a particle, normally first class condition, and you see on mixed with this, this negates that and makes it if and it's not true. That's second class condition. You'd find the verb in the indicative. Normally this plus the indicative would mean the statement to the writer is true. The minute this appears, you can't translate it. As a matter of fact, if you have an interlinear, you're going to see a line under it because there's no way you can translate it. It simply negates the if, and it's not true. Let me give you an example. If they had known, but they didn't. See? E, on. And you see what the Greeks did? They weren't sure which way it was to go, and so they combined the two and they made it eon, and that's the subjunctive. If maybe, if not. All right. We just have a few minutes. Where are we? Okay, you have an accusative masculine there, ton lovon, at the end of the middle of verse 5. Now, there's a good one. I agapitou theou. See it? Okay. I agapi is from I. Agape. Right? To Theou. From O Theos. Okay. Genitive, masculine, singular. Agape to Theou, translated. Or God's love. Okay? En tuto, in this, e agapitou Theou, te leo tie. Tete. Do you see the tete there? Not stuttering. What did I tell you about the repetition? No? It's perfect tense. And by the way, this word is actually translated, perfected. Yeah, from te leste. Okay? You probably heard, if you ever listened to a tape, Bob says, when our Lord said, Telestai, it is finished. It's completed. It's perfected. The work he was sent to do, he completed. And so in this is the love of God made perfect. Okay? And in this, by the way, we gnosko men, we know him, and we are in him. Is that correct? Verse 5. And we know him, that we are in him. Yeah. Okay. It's always good when I agree with the translation, right? Okay, verse 7, first word. You can tell me something about it. Agapiti. Right? This is the generic use, by the way. It's referring to my beloved. It's plural. But they use the second declension, they use the articular form. All right, uk, now watch this. Entolin, from? There's no article there, but you've already studied it. You had entolas, remember? So you know it's from entoli, e entoli. There's an adjective, see? Entoli kenin. See, entolin kenin. Kenin is from Can ye, when it's in front of a feminine noun, or kenos in the masculine noun, in this case it's new. So I'm not writing a new commandment. Brethren, or beloved, uk, I'm not, there's a negative, entolin, kenyi, commandment new, grapho, I write. See how they say it in Greek? Beloved, not commandment new, I write. And if you hear somebody speak the language in English, that's just about the way they break it up. Because they're still thinking in what structure? In Greek structure. And so they'll say, friend, no commandment I know, I do. They always put the verb at the end. Instead of in English, we have to put it in its proper order. There's another one down here that I wanted to show you. Yeah, look at, now you have the dictionary form. See verse 7? The second line in verse 7. E entoli, e palia. the alpha ending there, do you see it? That's got to be what declension? First. And it's the alpha ending of the first declension. Now you have two. There's two of your endings right there. See the eta ending? That's one of them. Alpha is the other one. Then you're going to see another one, is. But here you have two feminine articles preceding two nouns, both of which are first declension. And Mark, if you were to decline entoli, you would have to decline it according to its ita ending. Whereas if you were going to decline palia, you would have to decline it according to its alpha ending of the first declension. But the e, the article, would decline right along with the way it normally would. So your endings might be different, but your article would always follow the same structure because there's no difference in the article. Okay? You get that, I've locked you in. Because now you're ready to move into the next section. Now what I want to do next week, after we get our dictionaries, you'll probably be looking at them profusely. And what you want to do is take this text and start looking up words. And try to translate something. Let's just take one section. Here's what I don't want you to do. Don't cheat. Okay? Don't cheat. Give me a literal translation. Let's see. I got to give you one that. First John 2. The problem is I don't have any more of these. All right. Give me a literal translation of verses 10 and 11. 1 John 2. What I want you to do is translate the whole thing. The first thing you're going to do, right, is you're going to take each word and you're going to try to put it in some halfway decent order. Or the agapon participle. Thank you. Ton adephon, that's the accusative, so that's got to be the direct object. Afton of his brother. Right? I don't tell you anymore. En, taking the dative, to forti. And you look up the word forti, you won't find it in the dictionary because that's not its nominative form. It'll give you the nominative form, translate it. By the way, I think that's another one of those nasty first declension, excuse me, second declension. Is it? Where is it again? No. That's third declension. Yeah. See, what's an E ending? There's no such ending in either the first or the second declension, so it's third. Don't worry about that. What I want you to do primarily is to try to translate those two passages. Just give me a straight translation, however you can. Okay, any questions? And obviously you're going to have to do what? You're going to have to change the order. Don't keep it in this choppy order. Have it flow. And after you're through doing that, then get your English text out and see how close you came. But don't look up the text first. Use your dictionary. Mark? Mark?